new day.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hour number two of CBD coming your way. And don't forget, this Sunday, tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, for Browns pregame coverage all season long, beginning at 11 a.m. inside the Cleveland Browns. You are filling in alongside Sarah Carnes at 11:30, the best pregame show in town, Browns Countdown. Andy Baskin, Dave Zasidil, and myself getting you ready live from Dog Pound Drive outside of First Energy Stadium.
Yes, and I'm letting the cat out of the bag. The Cleveland Browns made me a fresh orange, which they are wearing on Sunday. They're rocking the orange for the first time this year. 57 jersey, which is, of course, is what I wore in my professional career with my name on the back. So I'll be rocking my orange 57 on Inside the Cleveland Browns at 11 o'clock on Channel 5 WEWS.
I love that. Be sure to check that out. 216-578-0850.
I'm going to put it up for auction.
Put it. You should. Tyler
Cleveland
in
Browns Foundation.
Tyler in Perrysburg. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
Hey, I got to be honest. I got to give you guys credit for putting a positive spin on this thing every week.
You got it, bro. Thank you.
When we get over 100 yards of penalties a game, we walk out on a third down, we got to complete, and we get a false start, and you can feel that it's going to happen. I feel like, I as Brown fans, I get the Johnny Manziel thing, but I wish people would stop. I give Pettine and them credit for sticking to a plan. I mean, if they're smart, they take Laquon Treadwell in this draft, and they get Josh Gordon back next year, and they look like completely new offense. On defense, we have the highest paid defense, I think, in the NFL, and we're ranked 32nd, so I'm sick of investing money there. But, you know, I mean, season ticket holder, and I hope the Browns do good, but I think there's probably a 25% chance they win it this week. I said to keep it close because that's kind of the MO.
Call your shot then. You got a number in your head? Call your shot while you can.
I think they keep it close, but I think they put up 31 on us, and I think we could probably go around 21. I think the offense looks a little bit better. I like Flip. I think he's a great pick. I like just listening to him talk. Seems like a great, knowledgeable guy. Knows all the press's names. Respectful, good. I think we picked up some good pieces with Duke Johnson, but I think we really need to invest some first-round picks in it. And I got to be honest, man, what is the deal with Mingo this year? I don't know why he thinks that he needs to be in there brushing the passer all as much. He weighs like 230, and he looks like he's running into a brick wall trying to rush the quarterback. And I don't know. I want to say that they'll turn it around. I think we're struggling, and I want some more accountability out of the players. I feel like this identity, I like Pett. I think he's a great coach, and I hope we stick with him. But I really want some more accountability out of the players. I watched early in the season at Arrowhead, Houston, someone jumped offside and you see him jump down a rookie's throat. I'm not saying yell at someone because that makes them better, but I haven't heard a single player show an edge the city of Cleveland, they show those videos and it's a tough, dirty, raw city, but I feel like they're not really embodying the team, and it's just they look like shell-shocked teenagers that are going out and doing the same thing every week, and then we come out and say, oh, we did some good stuff, and you know, I get that, and I know there's a lot I don't get, but it's frustrating to say the least.
I think that a lot of people, and something that I've heard a lot, is people want to see more fire. They want to hear fire from Mike Pettine. They want to see fire from these players. They want to see emotion that what's happening right now is not acceptable. It's tough. And we've talked about this. I kind of talked around it. The emotion at the professional level is different than it is at the college level. It's different than it is at the high school level. What do you have to do to get that emotion up?
Well, there are individuals in the locker room who have that makeup, who for whatever reason are not yet comfortable exposing that or being that guy, as we found out Greg Hardy is down there in Dallas, and they're a bad football team without Romo and Dez and DeMarco Murray as well. And how Greg Hardy, and it was a little over the top, but how that emotional guy can be perceived as the outcast or the black sheep because you're so crazy, you're so this, that no one wants to be that guy, okay? But I feel like, and we talked a lot about it last year, going into free agency and coming out with Whitner and Dansby and then backing up the talking that they had done all offseason and playing the way they did and that defense, even bad against the run, where they were in the passing game offset how bad they were in the rushing attack. And minus, you know, the 0-5 finish, this team was in it. And it had a lot to do with the fire and the passion that they were playing with to go up to Cincinnati on a short week and ball against the Bengals team the way they did. And that's why in some cases, and we'll get to our picks later, as I've already said, you have to doubt the fact that they're going to play a perfect football game. Very rarely do you. But are they going to play a balanced football game? Because it almost seems that one facet of the football game, special teams, the offense, defense, are going to let you down. And we don't have the type of team that the other side of the ball can overcompensate and carry this football team to a victory. So you have to play complementary.
You've got to figure, for a team that's struggling, you're right, you've got to be good all three phases. And you know, it is one of those things, and we've seen it. The Denver game was maybe our best defensive game. At least you made plays, touchdown, three interceptions. But the offense had probably its roughest game. And it's just, that's why good teams find a way to either overcome a shortcoming or just to clean up in all three phases.
And that's where, in some of the teams that I've been on, and being a fan of football, and I love when the camera pans over to the sideline, and you see, you know, with J.J. Watt, when the defense is doing their job, he's going over to try to lift up the offense. Like, we're so close. Come on, do your part. And I just want to see that leader not care so much about what, like, their job or their side of the ball, but be open-minded and know that, like, okay, we're doing our job. Let's go, offense. Bring it.
Josh does do that. I see Josh do that on the sideline.
Exactly. And that's great, but you need more guys than just your quarterback. Because you would hope that they would feel like, you know what, he's right, we're not doing our job. And then that individual who takes it to heart, stands up and rallies the defensive side of the football. And it's not just talk or blowing smoke, that you really want to go out there and play well, because reputations are on the line. Future monies are on the line with the way in which this team is playing right now, and no one wants to be perceived or ranked in the, you know, in the bottom, you know, 25th to 32nd. That's the dark side of the NFL. You don't want to be that team anymore. You have an opportunity every Sunday to go and eradicate how people think about you by the way you play.
And the comment about Mingo. I mean, when you look at Mingo and you watch him on tape, what do you see?
I see a guy that is whose body has yet to grow and mature to play at an NFL level. To me, he looks like a situational player in the National Football League or in an athletic defensive end in a 4-3 system in college, which is what he was.
Yeah,
right?
At LSU. Yes, indeed. Let's go to Mike in Akron now. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. Before I get to my question for you, Nathan, just to go off what Matt was saying, I mean, I agree with what he's saying, but as far as those leaders, Joe Hayden, Dansby, and those veterans, last year when they had that fire, I mean, this year they're not bringing it, and I think it's because they don't believe in what the coaches are putting out there. I mean, obviously we have a problem with the coaching because these guys, I mean, they're totally different than they were last year.
Well, the defensive coaching staff, though, is exactly the same.
I know.
Everything on the defensive
side
of the ball is exactly the same as it was a year ago.
It's night and day from last year, it seems like.
Well, I mean, they were the last run defense in the league this year. But, no, I hear what you're saying. There was certainly more playmaking going on that side of the football.
Exactly. No, and my question for you, Nathan, me and my buddy went down and was talking to you and Casey down at the St. Louis game.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that game, we were so optimistic, and then after losing that game the way we did, you know, I was telling, the guy that took my call, I mean, it's just sad because we're getting ready to take a bus trip down to Cincinnati. And, I mean, you know, I don't know if the Browns organization knows, but, I mean, they canceled that trip just because so many people are just dropping like flies. I mean, you know.
So there was going to be a fan bus trip down to the game that's been canceled just because people don't want to go?
Well, there were supposed to be two. They were trying to fill up the second one. We were on the first one. Well, they ended up canceling both because everybody dropped off. And, I mean, you know,
Would a win this week create a snap decision for everybody and the Bengals losing to the Steelers potentially recreate a second bus and some optimism about this football team?
You know, I'm not sure. All I know is, you know, you look at, there's probably 15,000 fans in that St. Louis game. And, you know, I mean, that was such a miserable game. And, I mean, I told my friend John, I said, you know, just imagine if we would ever start winning, how we would go and take over a city.
Oh, it would be madness.
It looked like the Terrible Towels in San Diego. That was a home game for the Steelers in San Diego.
It would be great, and certainly sorry to hear that, and hopefully the product on the field in this next game here on Sunday can help reignite some of that spark for the members of the Dog Pound who want to go down to Cincinnati, where the Browns had a massive win on Thursday night just a year ago. Art in Michigan, welcome to the show.
Nathan, I wanted to speak a little bit about during the last game when the offensive line committed, I think it was right around 12 penalties or so.
11 for the team, yep.
11? Okay, well, it had to do with motion or holding and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
I'm just wondering, and during the practice during the week, do they do any drills where they work on that in terms of the timing? And maybe have an official out there or something, or somebody to, because it seems to me that they aren't all together out there. And I see other teams where the center oftentimes checks off with the other players there, and they seem to stay on cue. And I wondered if what your observations were on how they're handling this specific part of the problems they've been facing recently.
Well, I do know that they have officials at every practice, and I'm sure, Matt, that was your experience in the National
Absolutely.
Football League as
yes.
well.
But, and I'll interject and I'll let you keep going, is there are times, because these same referees that come to practice every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday get comfortable with the players. They're definitely not trained like an NFL referee. They're definitely not watching as attentive to watching the holdings. I mean, they'll throw your flag on a false start or a flinch or an encroachment, but they're not calling pass interference unless it's truly blatant. And then you have a player, you know, who gets called for defense trying to, you know, joke with him about throwing his flag and throw the flag back at him. It's very hokey sometimes with those referees. There's a certain level of structure, but all in all, they're out there just essentially to try to police some of the pre-snap penalties, which are the offsides, the encroachment, and the false starts.
Yeah, so they are out there. I know it is a point of emphasis for this team, and I know it is something that they have been certainly working on, trying to clean up those penalties. They got to do it. All right, when we come back, it'll be time for us to make our NFL picks for week number 8 in the National Football League. The Kid joins us right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.